all things. You know, not just some, not just a few. All things. Yes, when I am weak, you make me strong. Thank you, Jesus. That when I was little, I used to sing, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me because the Bible, or how's it? For the Bible tells me so. But little, the verse goes that when we're weak, be this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to hear me long. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. was an F. But anyway, we're going to sing Rise Up and Praise Him. Hallelujah.
Come on. Come on.
Let the people rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the people of God sing His praise all over the land. Everyone in the valley, music, but I just I turn off the radio and I pray when I'm going to work, and I just praise God that it makes a difference when you pray.
Yes, it does.
It is
like
the lion and the lamb.
verses. How great.
Is our
Continue to keep our faith in you. If you have a need this morning, you'd like to bring it forward. This morning from Bev, which is Sandra's sister. This is the family that has gone through so much. Their mom went home to be with the Lord April the 14th. And that wasn't a bad thing, that was a good thing. She was ready, she was suffering with other ailments. But all she did is opened her eyes, saw heaven, and went home. Now, the person that saw this was her son-in-law, Charlie. That day, Charlie gave his heart to the Lord. That day, Charlie said, there has got to be a God. What I saw was the most wonderful miracle I've ever seen, to see her open her eyes and as if she was looking in heaven's door. Not frown, but such a big smile on her face. And then took her last breath. He said, there is a God. Well, I believe at that point in time, he gave his heart to the Lord. See, it doesn't take a whole lot of... We try to depict there's ways you have to accept the Lord, but there's not ways. It's the point of accepting who he is. And when we can accept who he is, then our life is changed for him. Well, he talked about it all the way home to his wife. And a month later, he got a massive heart attack at work in the midst of getting two renowned, over 6 to 8 minutes, he was without oxygen, and the heart wasn't pumping, no oxygen. They pronounced the brain dead. Wednesday, they pulled him off of life support, and Wednesday night, the 14th, a month to the day later, he went home to be with the Lord, to be with that. Now, that was the roughest prayer for me to make that Wednesday evening, because Sandra has had so many physical ailments in her life, you know, that she's got a gastric bypass, she's got this, it went wrong, and they've had a pump in her stomach's opened, you know, she's almost died twice, so there's so many complications in her life. Then to have to say, pull the plug, Jerry. Pull the plug, and will you pray him home fast? I don't want to see him suffer. I don't want to see him go through this. And I told her, I said, okay, that's the prayer you want. That's a prayer. But in the midst of my prayer, I made it two ways. I said, Lord, you're the miracle worker. Whatever miracle you perform, God, it's your will. If it's your will to keep him here, you know how to perform even brain dead miracle, to bring his brain back and bring him back. But God, you know. Where we don't know, you know. You know, and I prayed this prayer at about 6 that evening, and he went on to be with the Lord at 8:30 that evening. Well, now, if that isn't enough, I get this text this morning that she got 103 fever. They believe that the thing on the side of her is infected, which now she's back in the hospital. She's losing hope. She is losing hope in God. So I think we really need to. They have a daughter, 15-year-old daughter, a 21-year-old son that's in the military that I think is going to get a discharge. He's the last of the family for the breadwinner. He'll be the one that's going to have to survive to help that family get through the financial parts. So yes, so they have a son and a daughter that is, this is devastating. This is devastating. You don't know how hard it is day by day for me to go through that. Yeah, only in their 40s, honey. Yeah. So the family appreciates me, but I had to say it's not me, it's God. So they want me to go there this week, and I'll probably go there tomorrow afternoon, and talk to the daughter, and I need your support. I need this church to back me in prayer, to help her gain her faith back in God. Because as much as she's seen, yes, you can lose your faith in God. To see your husband die in front of you. To tell them to pull the plug and to watch him die. That's hard. That's hard. And now for her to go through as much as she's going, she could lose. And if she loses hope, she'll go. So I got to get her back that hope she needs. And, you know, I can't do this. I can't do it on my own. I need God, and I need this church 100% praying with me to give me wisdom on what to say to her to help her, to encourage her, because she really needs it. You know, I believe not only she needs it, but her son needs it. Her daughter needs it. They claimed to be strong, but I saw a daughter that had the hardest time going up to her dad to say goodbye, because that was her baby. That was very difficult for her to do that. So, please, Brother Ray, Roy, yep, I'll get it right. Could you pray over this? You don't have to stand, but just, I want you to pray. Pray for me to get the strength to help this family and give me wisdom from God on what to say that will encourage this family. Yes, Lord. God be with him. Be with Sandra. Be with Cindy. Be with Charlie Jr. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now I want to also pray for our nation real quick, and Baltimore and so many things. Oh yes, Sharon. We have one nephew with heart problems, and he's probably what, how old is? Okay, and then another nephew, Andrew, that might lose an eye. Okay, there's an infection in his eye. Same family, has two members in the family that are struggling. Andrew's the youngest, so he'd probably be... Aaron's the oldest. Okay. So let's just pray for those. And Sharon, why don't you pray? Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Now, Lord, I pray for our nation, O God, and Baltimore, and all those families that lost loved ones. Lord, God, you're the healer. You can heal sorrow. You can heal the pain. You can heal the suffering. God, you can take this, Lord Jesus, this disaster, and turn it to your glory. So I pray this right now, Lord, that you help these families and that you be with them, Lord. And I know that's just one. Our nation is going through so many turmoils right now, and natural events that are taking place between flooding, tornadoes, oh Lord, and earthquakes, oh God, that are taking in our world, oh Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that people will open their eyes and look to you. Lord Jesus, these are natural disasters. They're not caused by you. They're natural disasters. People have a tendency to blame you. But God, forgive them, Lord, for they do not know what they're saying sometimes. Be with them, Lord. Be with these countries, Nepal, oh God. Be with these countries, Baltimore, oh God. Be with these countries, all of our Midwestern states, oh God. Be with them, Lord Jesus. And let them see the difference, oh God, that you can make if they'll call upon you. Be with our nation, oh God, I pray. Lord, help our politicians, oh God. Get it together. Lord, help our nation and our judicial system. Get it together. Lord, we need that, Lord, because if they don't get it together, there's many things that are going to take place, oh God, that aren't good. Help us, oh God, to get it together with you. I pray this in your mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you, team. Thank you, worship team. If you have looked in your bulletin, you will see that we have one more week here. Okay, next week is our last week here at the school. The 31st will be a special service there at the fellowship hall. Everybody probably knows how to get there. It's simple, but it's behind our house. I've got a lot of cleanup to do between now and then. But we've got to get things ready. And we're going to have a potluck next week. And this between this week and next week, I'll have flyers out. I'll also, between this week and next week, I'll be calling all the families to let them know what, you know, on the potluck, what to bring. And next week, to close this out for next week, we're going to do communion. I think that's appropriate. So we'll do communion here. I haven't really decided exactly what we're going to speak on. It is also Memorial Weekend, so I do understand some will be not here, and that's okay. So, oh, okay. Well, shed one little tear. Only one. You only get one. Roy Mayer. Okay. So anyway. So next Sunday is our last Sunday here. We will open up at the Fellowship Hall the following Sunday, May the 31st, I believe it is, and it will be a celebration. It will be a potluck. There will be music. I do desire and want everyone to probably put together a song. Some of you, Patricia has a song for us, but we really, I'm just giving a little plug in. She's got a couple of weeks to prepare, put it together, but we're gonna have a good time. Is that okay? Bring it. Woohoo! That'll be good. Okay, so let's plan on that. And I would like my lovely daughter, Alexis, come forward. Our offerings are what they are. You see it, I don't need to explain it. You know where we need to be. We know what we need. Okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, I know that you help us. You help and always, God, you've always helped this church. So I put this into your hands, not into mine. God, you need to help this church, oh God, in our financial needs. You need to help each and every individual here in their financial needs and to continue to help them. Be with them, oh Lord, I pray. God, help us to use this finances to your glory. I pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. And just to give a heads up, James now has a new job. Woohoo! He's been looking for a while, got one, working at Walmart, the night crew, which is something that he wanted to do. He said, that's the Walmart that's not open 24/7. So his nighttime shift, he can sleep the whole, no. So he won't have all the worries of other people being there and probably get more work done when you don't have that. So give him praise that God opened that door and got him a good job. I mean, the pay's actually pretty good, too. You know, by the time he hits the night crew, he'll be making almost $11 an hour. So So that's pretty good for Walmart. So just remember that. And this morning, I want you to turn with me to Revelations. Revelations chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Revelations chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And I had to think on what I really wanted to talk about this morning. And I know how we can get a little discouraged. You know, we've done this thing two or three times, back and forth and back and forth. Here's the second, but three times altogether, if you look at Shaw. So I just want to let you know that God is telling us, He is telling us that He has set before us an open door. An open door. Okay? We sometimes seem to think that doors are closed or this or that is happening and, you know, we're just not getting it together and things aren't happening. The church grows a little and dies a little. I want to encourage you. Plus, I think it'll encourage me that God does set before you and I an open door. Revelations chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Okay? I want to read it to you. And if you look in your Bible, some of your Bibles will have that. It's called the Faithful Church. The Faithful Church. And to the angel of the church of the Philadelphia write, these things say he who is holy, he who is true, and he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. God bless this message. Help us to be encouraged for what you have for us today. In your mighty name, and everyone said, amen. Well, I want to give you some background. Here's something that was taking place in the very beginning of Revelations. John was on the island of Patmos, exiled there. And being exiled there, he was the only disciple that lived his whole life out and was not martyred. Now, they've tried to kill him. A few times they tried to kill him. They left him for dead. But God, even though they left him for dead, God still had a work for him and put him on the island of Patmos for a reason, so that he could write the Revelations. While there, God gave him visions of what to write and told him to write this down. And in the midst of that, the very beginning of the Revelations is he talks about the seven churches. And if you ever get a little bit of time, research those seven churches, and I'm not going to do it today, but research those seven churches. Those seven churches back then, and you think it only meant back then, those seven churches all relate to churches of today. The different churches of today, that what churches are going through today. And the only church out of all of the seven that he really could not come up with any wrongdoing was the Church of the Philadelphia. It was the sixth church, plus it was also the youngest of the seven churches. Doesn't that sound interesting? Philadelphia, in original language, it says, one who loves his brother. That's what Philadelphia means. One who loves his brother. It was the church to belong to. It's the best of the seven churches. There is no criticism from the Lord. There is only praise. This church was a powerhouse for God. Verse 7 gives us three great descriptions of our risen Savior, and I want to take you through them. In verse 7, first of all, it talks about the God who is holy. Let me read it again. And to the angel of the church of the Philadelphia write these. These things says he who is holy. So the very first thing that we must understand and realize, we're talking about someone that is holy. And there's only one person, or two actually, if you took a look at symbolisms, that were holy, three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's holy. They were holy. None of us could even equip or even come close to that categorization. So, John was talking about who? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay? So he was holy. He was the Holy One, which literally means to set apart, to be separate. The idea of being perfect or pure. This is the description of the one who holds your future. He is perfect, he is pure, and there is no defeat in him. Now, can you and I both agree to that? There is no defeat in God. My goodness, it's too quiet. There is no defeat in God. We get discouraged. We can be defeated. We can get defeated. You know, circumstances can cause that. And I'm not going to say that God didn't go through a few circumstances. I'm not going to say that Jesus didn't go through a few circumstances that could have defeated him at any point in time. But there's no defeat in God. There is no defeat in his son, Jesus. Amen? We must come to that agreement right there, because my next statement will go along with that. If there's no defeat in Jesus, I have to ask you this question. Who lives in you today? Jesus! My goodness, I'd be shouting Jesus. Because I don't want to have this old soul me living in me. Because I'm nothing but a wretched sinner. But when I accepted the Lord, something changed. Jesus came in. He swept my place clean. He cleaned me. He made me feel good. He made me feel perfect when I wasn't perfect. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? That's the Holy One. The Holy One lives in you. Even though you are not holy, you are holy because of who lives in you. In yourself, you're a wretched sinner. No good for nothing. And I've heard people tell me that many times. And I say, well, nah, you know, you're probably right. But the one who lives in me is holy, is perfect, is pure. Now, I'm not perfect, but he is. So if I have to look at anything, I look to his perfectness that which lives in me, which in turn makes me perfect through him, not through anything that I have done. There is no defeat in God. The second part of that, it says, he is true. He is true. Idea of being right, dependable, reliable. Oh boy, how many of you here this morning want someone that's reliable? That's dependable. You know, you look at society, you look at the world, you look at people around you, and they're not reliable. Look at our church. They're not dependable. They're not reliable. But I have a God that is, that we can depend on for everything. God knows what he is doing. He is right. Christ will always give us the right answer. The key is, we need to learn to listen. That's the hardest thing. When I had to meet that family, and when I had to pray that prayer, that was the hardest thing I think I've ever done. Because here was a healthy man. Obviously, there was something going on inside his body that he didn't even know about. And that's called your heart. They call that the silent death, your heart. Okay? That can kill you without even you knowing about it, and it'll come upon you without you knowing. Young ones. I know there was another one that was under 20 years old that passed. Not on our system, but do you understand it can happen to anyone? We have to watch, and I recommend to every one of you, get a blood pressure machine and keep track of your blood pressure. I'm sure he didn't. And I'm sure that's what caused a massive heart attack. There was something going on in his system that was silent. He looked healthy. Everything looked great, but there was something going on inside. That was a, heart condition. So I say that we need to keep track of that, you know. Yes, God could have performed a miracle, and God could have taken the brain, you know. I have a hard time. I'm going to be candid with you. I had a very difficult time because I was praying completely opposite of that. I was praying for God to be, and I said, God, I've read through your scriptures. I read through all the gospels of, All the gospels said that you healed everybody. Everybody that came to you, you healed. And here we have someone here that desperately needs your healing. So do I question God? I'm not going to tell you that I don't. But I don't have the answer. I'll have to be, when I get to heaven, I'll ask him. I do know that Charlie's at home. He's home in heaven, which is a great place, a lot better than where we're at. So he won, if you really think about it. I just worry for the family. I guess I have that worry more for the family and what they're going to have to go through. He's in heaven. His pain and suffering is over with. But now we have to deal with a family, you know, that doesn't see it that way. So please keep me in your prayers, because it was a very difficult prayer to pray the prayer she wanted me to pray. And then God did perform a miracle. God took him home. Only God knows. Only God knows some of these things. So, yes, it is right, and he is right. Who knows what would have happened if he would have survived? Okay? He might have gotten full brain capacity back, everything back, and then who knows? Only God knows why God does what he does. You know? So he's a sovereign God, and I have to leave it in his hands. God is dependable. Hebrews 13:5, in the second part of that, said, God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You can rely on God. You can. I think we've all been let down sometime in our life, whether it's been by family, friends, yes, even Christians. We've all been let down. We've all had problems. We've all think we're dealing with somebody that's dependable, and it turns out they're not dependable. We've been let down. Okay? I will tell you this morning, that we can always depend upon God. Whoever did that, say that again. Yes. Amen. And that's the truth. We can depend on God no matter what we go through. And the very third thing in that little scripture right there, it says that he is the one who holds the key of David. So you understand that he holds the key of David. The author of Revelations here has this picture and this idea in his mind that Jesus holds the keys of the treasure of David. Meaning, Jesus holds the resources of heaven at his disposal. And he's in authority over them. Do you understand that? He holds the keys to heaven for us. He opens the doors for heaven for us. No one else does that. No one else can do that. When we get on, and we're laying on our deathbed, there's a choice that we make. Every one of us. We're all going to die. Amen? Some sooner than later. You know, but it's going to happen. And if the Lord comes, then the Lord's going to take the dead in Christ first, and then he's going to take us. Guess what? He takes the dead in Christ first. So you're always going to be second choice if you're still living here on this earth. Okay? But we're all doomed in this body, this physical body we have, to let this physical body go so that our spiritual body will live for eternity and eternity and eternity. Those that know the Lord as your personal Savior, you might see physical death, but you will also see, I believe, physical eternity. Okay? Why would there be gold? Why did Jesus say that I go and prepare a place for you? Why would he say that if there isn't that? I get so frustrated with people that say, well, when you die, you just die. You go back to the earth, the dirt that you were formed from. And you know, I say, I agree with you that your physical body goes back to that old dirt. But if your spiritual body wants to go there, so be it. Not me. Because when I take my last breath here, I'm going to walk immediately, spiritually, into the streets of gold with my Heavenly Father. He's going to come physically down and pick me up and take me home. Hallelujah. I will see the patriarchs of old. I will be able to ask the questions that are not answered now to the Lord Himself. Amen? And then I will be able to bow straight down and my face on the ground, giving praise to the Lord that I made it. That I made it. I am going to do a series soon on the seven crowns that we receive here. Do you know that you have seven crowns that you receive? Seven crowns of glory that you receive that you will receive when you go to heaven. When that glorious Bema Seat judgment takes place, there's going to be crowns that are going to be given out. One of them happens to be the very simple one. It's the crown of salvation. That's easy. All you got to do is accept him. And you got that one. But there are other crowns that are that you receive. I don't want to go into them because I'm going to do a series on that. And we're going to talk about the seven crowns. The seven crowns, you know, that you receive when you're there and the Lord is handing these out. You know what's so good about that? And I'll give you a little secret here. All the crowns that you receive, whether they're just one or whatever the crowns you receive, you're going to cast before the feet of Jesus. And you're going to give them back to him for his glory just because you made it to heaven. And you're going to bow down and worship and praise him. I believe it's going to be a very exciting time in heaven. And I feel sorry for all those deadbeats that, you know, figure that you have to be really quiet in church. Well, you know what? I don't think there's going to be a quiet place in heaven. And there's not going to be the little corner over here, you know, for the deadheads. Big sign up here. The deadheads over here. No, I think the quiet ones. I think when you make it to heaven, even the quiet ones are going to shout. Even the quiet ones are going to shout. Hallelujah. Okay. Take comfort. God is in charge. Amen. The Lord is going to take care of us. What he opens, no one can shut. These are doors of opportunity. Lord, he's waiting for some of us to be faithful and walk through some of the doors he has already opened before so that he could open the next one. He might have opened the door of salvation that you've walked through, but he has other doors for you to walk through. See? He wants to open those doors, and he'll open, and no man, no devil in hell can shut those doors. If God opens them for you, walk through them. Hallelujah. Verse 8, part A says, I know your record of works and what you are doing. See, I have set before you a door wide open, which no one is able to shut. The God we serve is a God who opens doors for us. And when he opens the door, no man, no demon, no devil can shut that door. We may try to open doors on our own strength and fail because they are too strong for us. Sometimes we may succeed in opening a door in our own strength only to find that somebody has closed it again. Do you understand what I'm talking about that? And that's true with being humans. Isn't it true? Sometimes we will try to open doors. Sometimes we will force doors open that should not be open. Understand, he said, I will open the doors that no man can shut, and I will shut the doors that no man can open. So what he's saying here, this door wasn't ready for you. It wasn't ready for you to open. And you might force it open. You might try to force it open, try to get in. But I guarantee you, if it's not, and you're not ready for it, then it will discourage you. It will knock you down. It will, and then you'll be back to saying, why God, why did this happen? It happened because you did it in yourself and you didn't allow God. When God knows you're ready for the next door, God knows he will open it for you and no devil can shut it. But he knows when you're ready. Amen? He knows when you're ready. You got to realize that. When we face such situations, we should allow the Lord to open these doors. His mighty strength and power will open the doors so that no one can shut them again. The Lord opened the Red Sea. Remember we talked about that last week. When he opened the Red Sea, he made a way for his people to go through the Red Sea. Do you understand that? But there's also a turnaround on that. What he opens, no man can shut. But what he shuts, no man can open. Once all of the Israel nation got through that Red Sea, you understand I'm saying the word through? Because sometimes we have to go through things. He'll open the door for you to go through it. Sometimes we get too comfortable where we're at. Sometimes we get a little too comfortable where we're at. And God says, okay, it's time to move on. It's time to move on. I'm going to open the door for you to move on. I'm going to be there while you go through that door. I'm going to be there while you work your way through the pathway that I have given to you. It's always a little bit narrow pathway, but he'll always see you through. But then there's something that takes place. But he closed it when the Egyptian tried to use the way he had opened for his people. You have to understand this. He can close the door to people that are not supposed to be there. Amen? People might try to follow you in that door that are not supposed to go through that door. The devil's going to try to follow you in and cause all kind of discouragement to you. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to turn you down. He's going to try to say, you can't do this. Well, if God opened the door, you can do this. He will equip you with what you need. That's what he said he would do. But there's always someone out there that is the complainer, the negative person. He's going to try to go through that same door. But here, I love this when it says, you know, that he will close the door. And what happened to the Egyptians? He closed it on them and they all drowned. He opened it for his people and closed it for them. He's going to close it for any Satan, any devil, any person, negative person that comes your way. It's going to be shut for them. Remember that. The doors that God opens for us cannot be used by our enemies. Remember that. The way of escape for us will become a way of destruction for our enemies. I love that one because that's so true. This morning, Jesus is telling you and I set before you an open door. Do you believe in the Word of God? Let's try that again. Do you believe in the Word of God? Do you believe that what Jesus said is true? It's holy. You can depend on it. So if Jesus says, I open that door for you, can you believe that you can go through it and be able to figure out what God wants on the other side of that door? Yes, come on now. Don't lose it yet. Don't lose it. Come on. I set before you an open door. What could you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Now I'm going to give you that question again. What could you do if you knew you couldn't fail? I set before you an open door. This is the word of God to all of us this morning. I set before you an open door. And what I open, no man will shut. And you will not fail. You will not fail. You will not fail. What are you going to do with this great opportunity that is set before you? I set before you an open door in your business, in your work, your marriage, your finances, your health. Give you an example. And I told you about this, I think, last week, where God opened the door for us, for Sharon and I, to stay in Sacramento when it was all possibilities, it wasn't going to happen. Once you get orders, once you receive orders in our military, you go. Even the chaplain said, well, Jerry, just believe it's faith in God and go there expecting God to work for you wherever you go. I walked out of that place and said, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. I wasn't going to accept that. God opened the door for me to be in Sacramento, and I was going to be in Sacramento. And the good Lord worked it out. We stayed in Sacramento. We helped that church. We did many things in Sacramento through the grace of our Lord. Many opportunities that took place because we were able to stay in Sacramento. You know, I want to talk about our church. God opened the door to build a church here in Sparks. Now, I got to ask that question. Church. I didn't say building. Because actually, we're the church. The building is just a building. Okay? The church is you. I still believe throughout my heart, soul, and spirit that God opened the door. When I went to the district, I walked in the district and I said, district, we need a spirit-filled church in Spanish Springs, Sparks area. And they 100%, yes, Jerry, we do. I can still remember Presbyter Brady, Reverend Brady, looking at me face to face. I will never let that sight go away from me. Face to face, and said it so plain. Yes, Jerry, we do need someone that will open a spirit-filled church in Sparks and Spanish Springs, and you're the one. It knocked me back because I wasn't asking for that. All I was asking for is that we need it, and I was willing to help put it together. I wasn't prepared or ready, and I still don't feel prepared and ready to do the work that God had. I believe God really does have a work in the city. Because I see a city that is so down, that doesn't even understand the Spirit of God. They understand recreation. They understand, you know, social events and having a church that's nothing but social. They understand that, but they don't understand the power that God has for them. Now, do I know that I'm not equipped? No. I do know that I'm not equipped, you know. But that door's been opened that no man can shut. And I will tell you, the devil has tried to shut this door several times. This church has grown and died and grown and had a few, got lost a few, had a few. We have gone through it. But it's time. It's time. The Israel nation was in the wilderness for 40 years. I think we've been there. We've had our 40 years. Okay? And I say, Lord, it is time. It's not the building. We have to get that understood because, you know, I've had people that have came to me even recently, us moving back into the fellowship hall with the thing, my goodness, you're going to do that again? How many times are you going to move? Why don't you just close up? Why don't you quit? There's an open door. God has opened that, and no man can shut. Now, we can shut it. We can get discouraged. We can get down and out. And we can say it's just not meant to be. But God caused me to build a fellowship hall for a reason. Now, I'm not going to tell you it hasn't been easy. We've been battled over that fellowship hall several times with people trying to say, you can't do that. You can't have a church there. You can't have a church there. Well, 2 years ago, I finally came to the conclusion with all the city going on my back, we weren't even having fellowship. We were just having, you know, little meetings there. So I finally came to the conclusion. I went to the city and I said, what is it going to take for me to have fellowships there at our fellowship hall? Everybody else, small cell groups, everybody else does it. I have been fought by every battlefield there has been fought. I built a sign that we paid $1,500 for and paid for the permit, got the permit, and then a year later had to tear it down because it was considered illegal. And I fought that battlefield too of saying, we got the permit. What is going on here? And I conceded and just did it. But I will tell you, this last one, we won a little bit of a battle because they gave me a business license at our fellowship hall that I pay yearly. We have a business at our fellowship hall. Now, we can't really call it church services, but we call it corporate meetings. We're a nonprofit corporation, okay? And as a nonprofit corporation, you're allowed to have corporate meetings. So we just switch the wording around to appease our government. Sometimes you have to do that, but it's okay because now we're legal. Don't let anybody ever tell you we're not legal there, because we are legal there. Amen? We're legal there. We can have our meetings there, you know? I pay every year for a business license for that building. So wherever. So what the devil is trying to do, he's not going to win because the door is shut in front of him. We must be willing to open the right door to tap into what God wants us to do. What needs do you have this morning? How big is your vision? How big is your dream? I set before you an open door. What could you do if you knew you couldn't fail? What could you do? What couldn't you do? John chapter 12, chapter 14. John chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 12. And it's probably going to come up there. It's not going to come up there. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever, I'm going to have to say that again. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you understand that word? Whatever means whatever. 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 See, we put limits on God. We put limits on what he can do. You know, our own humanity puts limits on God. Well, he can't do that. Oh, yes, he can. Whatever means exactly that. There's no limits. There's no boundaries. There's no questions. Whatever you ask in Jesus' name, he will do. Why did he make that statement? The things that I do, you're going to do, but you're going to do more. Why did he ask that? Why did he make that statement? Understand this, that as long as Jesus was here on this earth, the miracles that he performed were limited to the area that he was at, right? You know, now understand, I believe that he had the power to go anywhere and perform miracles anywhere else, but he himself was limited by his human body. So he said, the works that you see me do here, you're going to do. But there's going to be greater works, because guess what? I go to my Father in heaven, but my Spirit is in you. And the works that I have done, you'll do because my Spirit is in you. It's not you doing the works. It's me through you doing the works. How many Christians are in our world today? If they would just figure this out. I know we're a minority, but do you know we could be a majority very quick if the Christians of this world would get it together and figure out who they are? Okay? They don't figure out who they are because the devil is tying them down in so many different ways, you know, that and truly they're powerless Christians. If the Christians of today, all of us, would wake up and realize the power that they have within them, the power that was through the Gospels and the miracles that was laid out through the Gospels, this world would change. Not just our nation, not just this community. The world would change. The world would change if you believe. And I think that's what he was trying to say. Just believe, whatever, whatever. There's no limits, no boundaries, no questions. Whatever you ask in Jesus' name, he will do it. You are not strong enough to carry all your troubles, addictions, burdens, financial struggles, health problems, and the list goes infinitely. But I will tell you that God is. The key to this verse is ask. You have not because you... I'll say that again. You have not because you ask not. Again, I say, I set before you an open door. What could you do if you knew you couldn't fail? I set before you an open door. This is the word of God to all of us this morning. And I'm going to close off with this little part here. Verse 8b says, I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and guarded my message and have not renounced or denied my name. There are three qualifications for opening this door. The first one, little power. God's door swings on two hinges, dependability and reliability and availability. God's two hinges that he's there. That door swings on dependability. You can depend on God. Availability, he's always there. This church has had little strength. Amen? But they were willing to use what they had. Church of Philadelphia had little strength, but they used what they had. The Adventure Assembly has little strength. But we have to realize that we have to depend upon what we do have. God can do a great deal with just a little. It doesn't take hundreds or thousands of people. It takes, started out with one, then 12. 12 disciples were told that they changed the world and turned the world upside down, starting with just 12 disciples. One, two, three, four. There's 12 in here. Do you understand that? He works with little things, not big things. Just a little. The problem is we have too much and we have a tendency to rely on ourselves. There are many churches out there that are even ourselves, if we take humanity, that we have so much laid upon us that we look at ourselves before we look at God. Finances, we have the money. So why look and depend on God? You know, we can do it ourselves. I've been caught in that one myself. If you want to see God to move, it usually comes when we have come to the end of our lives and ourselves, and we have nothing left, then God takes over. Lord wants us to depend on his strength and on his power. Too many of us are relying on our own talents and our own skills. Two, it says, keep my word. Obedience is better than... Let's try that again. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is very important. Sometimes we have selected obedience, which is being obedient when it's convenient or maybe think we know best. We lose out on obedience and we think we can do it ourselves. So if we try to do it ourselves, is that being obedient? We have to be obedient to God and what God wants. Okay? And I have laid a lot of prayer out. I mean, I have been praying for 3 or 4 months on what to do with this church, with Adventure Assembly. And I know I've had a lot of thoughts. Well, close it. Merge with another. And merging isn't a bad thing. But for right now, we need to get our life. We need to get ourselves together. Whatever we, if we decide to merge or whatever we do later on, that's fine. But for right now, we gotta stop and seek God. And sometimes it means stop. Quit trying to do everything. Quit trying to run and do all the stuff yourself. Stop. And I will tell you, 2 months ago, I thought about moving out. Okay? And I kind of set it aside. You know? We should have done it 2 months ago, by the way. We should have done it January 1st. That's when God told me. January 1st. And the reason why? Finances. But God said, I'll take care of it. He told me this in January. But you know how I am, you know. But God is, everything's working fine here. We're doing okay. God said, no. You need to regroup. You need to get back to the basics. You know, this is just a building. You know, that we pay $800 something a month for one service a week. One service a week. That's it. So God is saying, and he told me this in January, and I didn't tell anybody this, that I didn't even tell you that, no, that we should be back in the fellowship hall and that we should be regrouping ourselves and growing there. Do you know that God told me that we're going to grow there? For all of you to know that. Yes, he did. He told me we're going to grow there. He told me we're going to grow there. We're going to grow spiritually. You know, I didn't get the word, you know, numbers or not, but he said we're going to grow spiritually. So, and I always know this, if you grow spiritually, the numbers will come. Isn't that right? You get filled with God, God starts performing miracles, you're going to tell people, and they're going to say, what church do you go to? See? So that's going to happen, okay? So I believe this. God also told me that we'll never come back here. I just want you guys to know that. God says, I'm gonna implant you to where I want you. It's not going to be a convenient place. I'm going to put you where I want you. Place that in your thought patterns, because God is on the move. God is on the move. God is on the move. And what he opens, no man can shut. What he opens. God is looking for saints to be faithful so he can place them in strategic spots so God can use you. It's easy to stand up in church and get excited, but the world is a different story. If the Lord can't depend on you in small things, he won't elevate you in larger responsibilities. Sometimes we focus too much on our career while God is focusing on your character. I agree we need careers. I'm not saying that. But sometimes our focus becomes so much on our career that we forget God and what he can do, because he focuses on your character, not your career. If your characters were correct, your career will take what it takes. God is a God who opens doors of opportunity for his children. There are many doors that we are open and that are open for us today. Doors of service to God and others. Doors of physical and spiritual provision. Doors to the miraculous and life-giving power. Doors of faith for salvation and victorious living. The door to hope and the door to heaven. When we step through these doors, we fulfill God's perfect will. Before we can pass through the doors that God has placed in our paths, there is a door that you must open first. Revelation 3:20 says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." Have you opened the door of your heart to Jesus? Is your life right with him? And I believe that is true. I say to that, commit to God to step through the doors of the opportunities He's laid before us today. Promise God you will take the steps to go through that door that God has placed before you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because He is with you. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. And you know what? Sometimes those doors are going to be scary. Sometimes He's going to open the door and say, walk through it. But Lord, I'm not ready. But Lord, it's a little scary on that side. I'm more comfortable here. I'm more relaxed here. But God is saying the opportunity's there, not here. He jumped out to his death, he thought.
He thought he was going to die. You know, He will make a way where every door has shut. He can open it. And, you know, we just have to trust Him. And sometimes we have to leap out in faith, knowing that He's there to do everything. You know, I'm just thinking about Jonah. For him to jump off, he thought,
it's over.
It's over. And God prepared me, that God planned ahead of time, because God knows everything. Maybe God has to get this church to a point where we jump out and believe God and trust Him no matter what we see, because God tells us to, and we have to be obedient.
Obedient. Obedient. Right.
And sometimes we try to weigh things out in our minds. But I know that God is a God that He wants the best for us.
He does.
And He wants us to trust Him no matter what we go against.
Amen. That Amen. Door is open. Oh, is it scary? Yes. You don't know what's on the other side of that door. You don't know how you're going to do it. You don't know if you're even able to do it. But God has opened doors of opportunities for you, for this church. And He's saying, walk through it. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. Go through it. Should have went through the door in January. I believe that. And I have asked God, forgive me for not following His direction. But we're going to walk through it now. Just a setback, but we're going to walk through it now. We're going to walk through it knowing that there is going to be something new and exciting in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? The power of the Holy Spirit is coming our way. His power is more important than our convenience. Rhonda, close us in prayer.